All right, church, before we get into the word today, let's go to our Father in prayer and let's continue as we have been allowed to already this morning experience so many wonderful blessings from His presence, so many gifts from His hand. Let's continue and receive His word. Our Father in heaven, we praise Your name. We thank You, Father, for Your holy scriptures, for they help us see You more clearly. We thank You, Father, for reminding us of Your word, the truth, so that our hearts and our minds and our souls may be oriented to the reality that You have provided. Father, we confess to You that the things in this world that have vied for our attention, some have captured our hearts. Some have caused us to worry, to fear. Some things in this world have caused us to be distracted. Some things in this world have caused us to live to please ourselves. Some things in this world have caused us to be sluggish, lethargic in our faith. Father, we confess these things to You. We want Your priorities to rule our lives. We want Your better way that You have provided us through the blood of Jesus to determine how we live. And as we look at Your scriptures this morning, I pray, Father, that You work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that You increase our faith. I pray, Father, that we will see You. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians this morning. You know, as Christians, as those who know a little bit about the Bible, who know a little bit about our Creator, who know a little bit about God, heaven tends to capture our imagination, doesn't it? We have thoughts of heaven, we sing songs of heaven, and we like to imagine. We like to imagine and think about it. And unfortunately, we tend to think of the details of heaven as far away, both in time and space. That we tend to convince ourselves that the Christian life is one that is endured here so that when over we may be whisked away, that we may be removed, that we may go on this far journey to meet God where He is. I don't know if you've considered how insidious that idea is. And it is. Because it's caused us to lose sight to what the Bible says about heaven. And so this morning we're going on a difficult journey. We're going on a difficult journey because not only, I mean, we're not sitting here, you know how difficult it is to go to someone who does not believe in Jesus and try to convince them of the truth of the gospel. This morning we're going on a journey where those who believe in Jesus need to be convinced that maybe some of their beliefs are not right. That's not an easy thing. I realize this. I hope you realize this. The Apostle Paul has as his theme in the letter to Ephesians, 5 times he refers to something in the heavenly places. 5 times in the heavenly places. So this morning I want us to dig in and read these things and have our faith strengthened by the truth that the spiritual realities of the heavenly realm are here. The spiritual realities of what God has done are here and now. Because if we If we can get His truth in our hearts, it will change not just our perspective. It will change how we live each and every day of our lives. So, I hope I don't have to convince you this morning. I hope I can just remind you. However, if you do need convincing, I hope that God's Word will do that difficult task. The first one that the Apostle Paul is in chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3, and I want you to listen what happens in the heavenly places. 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." All right, so right out of the gate, Paul says that God's blessings are in the heavenly places. That is where God's blessings are found. Now, I just want you to ask yourself, and I just want you to look at your own life. Have you been blessed with God's blessings? They are found in the heavenly places. That's where they are. That's where God's blessings are found. Paul's not promising a mansion, a robe, and a crown. He's not promising a far-off vacation. He's not promising something that comes to us after we die. He is saying everything that God has to offer is ours in Jesus Christ. Everything that God has to offer is ours in Jesus Christ. So now, just ask yourself, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Because if you are in Christ, you have God's blessings. He has poured out all of His blessings through His Son. In fact, I don't know why our English version doesn't do this, but it actually says in the Greek at the end of that verse, again, it says, in Christ. In the heavenly places, in Christ. Church, if we are in Christ, then we have the blessings of God. We have what God has to offer. You ever caught yourself saying, "Lord, there must be more"? I mean, yeah, okay, it's good, you've forgiven my sins, and you know, you've given me the Holy Spirit, but surely there's more. Surely there's something else. Why are you holding out on me? Why don't you just go ahead and open it up? And Paul says he has opened it up. He has opened it up. He has provided and poured out, rained upon your life, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now he's not saying, okay, well you just endure all the bad stuff down there, and then when you get to heaven, it's all yours. No, what Paul is trying to get us to understand, and he opens with a good one, yet it is a difficult one, is that all of God's blessings have been given to us, but we must understand that God's blessings lie in a spiritual realm. They lie in the place, they live and breathe in the place where God Himself is. And those blessings are ours in Jesus Christ. The second one, chapter 1, go down to verse 16. Now, verse 20 is where he actually says the phrase, but Paul, this is one of those long sentences. So 16 through 21 is just one long sentence. And he likes to run on at times. He uses more commas than periods. So we've got to go back to 16 to get the whole sentence. Ephesians 1:16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That is one long sentence. That is one long sentence. But he says, in the heavenly places is where Christ is. That is where Jesus is. It's where he lives, it's where he dwells, and it's where he breathes. And where Jesus is sitting in a seat of authority in the heavenly places. Jesus rules in the heavenly places. The spiritual realm that God has opened up for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is where Jesus sits on the throne, where his name is more powerful than all other names. Where his power is greater than all other powers. Now church, you're going to have to flex your faith. You're going to have to be stretched, because you and I know that on a regular basis, we look at God, we cry out to God and say, but God, I see things down here and they're bad and they're not right. And I just wonder how so much darkness can prevail. And we ask questions like, where are you? How long are you? God, please answer me. And church, in the heavenly places, Jesus sits on his throne. In the heavenly places, Jesus sits on his throne above every name. So what that reminds my heart, what that calls me to do, is that I should spend a little less time fretting about what's going on here around me and a little more time focusing on the glory that is due to Jesus Christ as the name that is above all names. I can't control everybody else in the world who does not recognize Jesus as Lord. I cannot do anything about it. I can share with them. I can share with them the gospel. I can relate to them and say, friends and neighbors and even enemies, I want you to know the truth that Jesus has all rule and authority. Church, we cannot be the ones who see the wickedness around us and doubt and wonder and question if Jesus has somehow gone to lunch. If you and I do not recognize his rule and authority in the heavenly places, then no one else has a chance of recognizing his power. And what is his power? How do I know it? How do I experience it? How do I see it? It is in the resurrection from the dead. The tomb is empty. The witnesses ran in and they saw and they marveled and they praised and they said, thank you, God. Because we thought all was lost. We thought it was hopeless. We put our hope and our faith in this man, your son, our Savior. And we thought they ended him. And the messengers said, no. Jesus can't be held in the land of the dead. He's alive. Go tell everybody. So because Jesus is alive, because he is alive to rule from his throne for all eternity, because this reality that occurs in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, then our faith is rock solid in what God has done through his Son. Do not waver. Do not doubt. Hold fast to your confession. We go to chapter 2. We go to chapter 2. Let's go to verse 4. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, chapter 2, they got it right. That in Christ Jesus, that should have been in 1:3. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. All right, so he says here in chapter 2 that God has raised us and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places. Now, Paul's kind of building through this letter here all about the heavenly places and all about our ideas of heaven. It needs to expand. It needs to expand as we understand that in the heavenly places, this is the spiritual realm. This is where God dwells. This is where Christ rules. We are so tempted to just get caught up in what's going on in the flesh all around us that we lose sight of the reality of what God has done in the heavenly places. But here in chapter 2, church, the good news is that we have been brought up and seated with Jesus in that realm. So your life and your existence is no longer just here and now or just what I can touch and what I can see. That my reality, that being reborn through the blood of Jesus Christ, that my reality now is that I have been placed with Him. And it's so easy to say, oh, well, Michael, how can you even focus on that? How can you even say these things? Because I'm still dealing with this problem. I'm still dealing with this issue. I still have to look at this injustice. And I still have to face this horrible thing in the world around me. And I'm still struggling with temptation and sin. And I don't always feel like I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of these things, and I look at my reality around me. How can you possibly say that this is a present fact that I have been raised with Christ in the heavenly places? Church, just listen to Paul's word. Listen to Paul's word. Mercy has been brought to you. You are forgiven of your sins. You do not yet have every promise fulfilled. That's why you have verse 7. He has still things planned for your future. He still has things planned for the future of creation. It is not yet 100% fully realized. But our reality, where we are, where our home is, where our heart is, where our existence is in the heavenly realms raised with Jesus Christ. And that reality changes everything. That changes everything. I cannot view this world or my family or my neighbors or my enemies anymore like I once did, because my reality has been changed, because our spiritual reality now is with Jesus, raised with Him. God has demonstrated this ultimate power, and we have been raised from the dead, and our forever home is with Him. Go to chapter 3. Go down to verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Here we have number 4. 3:7 says, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So number 4 this morning, as Paul continues along in this letter, he says that God's wisdom is actually shown through the church to the rulers in the heavenly places. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. God's wisdom. Now, I know none of you have ever questioned God's wisdom since yesterday. But in God's wisdom, what He has done has provided us His Son, and as we live that out here and now in the church, the rulers of the heavenly places are witnessing that long-standing promise that Jesus made way before, that God made way before Jesus ever showed up. God said, I am doing something new. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. And all through the Old Testament and all throughout creation, He says, I am going to do something big and amazing, something world-changing. And church, those who are completely in that spiritual realm, in the heavenly places, they are looking at you and I to see the wisdom of God manifest. See, Jesus is God with some flesh put on Him. The church is God's wisdom with some flesh put on it. And those in the heavenly places are looking at us. They're looking at us and saying, oh, this is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. Now, church, if that blows your top, if that scares you, concerns you in any way, then I think that's time for us to look at ourselves. How are we living the mystery of God? How are we living the realities of God through Jesus Christ? How are we putting flesh on what God has given us so that those in the heavenly places look and say, oh, that's what God was doing. God was forgiving them of their sins so that they could draw near to Him. God was making it possible so that sinful man could now stand in His presence and freely offer up spiritual sacrifice with cleansed hearts, with purified conscience. And wait a minute, in God's wisdom, look, they're getting along with each other. They're loving one another. They're forgiving each other. They're living in harmony and unity. This is what God had planned all along. This is what His kingdom looks like. This is what a people look like who are living underneath God's blessed rule. Amen. Now, church, if we look at ourselves and we look around at our local congregation, if we look around at what the church is doing in the here and now, and we do not see these things, if we do not see praise being given to our Father because our hearts are forgiven, if we do not see forgiveness and mercy and unity being lived out in the church, it's not because the wisdom of God has failed. It is because you and I don't believe it enough to live it. Do you believe it enough to receive His salvation? Do you believe the gospel news enough for you to be saved? To be redeemed from death and sin? Do we believe it enough that it is God's wisdom that we would live out His truth right here, right now? And those who are with Him in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realm, are looking at us and saying, that's what God was doing. So church, it matters. It matters how we live and how we speak and how we walk and how we treat each other. It matters. It matters eternally. In chapter 6, verse 10, here's the last one. In verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Well, wait a minute. Is this a different heavenly places, Michael? No. Same one. Same one. Same in the heavenly places. Only problem is up to now, it's all been good, hadn't it? It's all been nice. It's all been positive. It's all been promises of God. But now, Paul says that in that same places, spiritual forces of darkness are battling against us. In the heavenly places, we are fighting against these dark forces of evil. I hope that this final use of in the heavenly places makes it clear that Paul has not been talking about just a safe landing place for those who call themselves Christians. Paul has not just been talking about a faraway place that we look forward to, but instead he is talking about the spiritual realm that we have been made a part of. Church, we are still in this fight. But this fight is not against our neighbors. This fight is not against our neighbors. It's not even those in the flesh that we would consider our enemies. It's not. This fight is against dark forces of evil. It is a spiritual fight. We have been given a spiritual existence. We have been given a spiritual rebirth. We have been given spiritual blessings. And we are in a spiritual battle for our soul. Scotty read for us in John chapter 3. That Jesus looks at him and says, look, if you don't understand when I explain to you earthly things, how are you going to understand when I explain to you heavenly things? That if you don't understand these stories that I'm sharing with you, how are you going to understand spiritual truths that are so much bigger than these earthly stories? Church, ours in Jesus Christ is a spiritual existence and a spiritual reality. Paul goes to great lengths all throughout this book of Ephesians to let us know over and over and over that these things are true in the heavenly places, in the place where God lives, in the place where God blesses, in the place where we battle. We are born again into a spiritual existence. We are born again into a spiritual existence. And because of that fact, because of that reality, church, we cannot fall victim to probably the greatest temptation of all, or even the worst thing the enemy can do to us, is just lull us into thinking that what we can see is all there is. Now, the good news, if you join us next week, we're actually going to talk about a few ways that will hopefully help us live and dwell and fight in the spiritual existence that we have been made a part of. Today, it's hard enough work just convincing our hearts that it's true. It's true. It's not just this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through because I'm looking for that place up there in the sky. Instead, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, what I see here with my eyes, what I experience in the flesh is not my reality. It's not my reality. But in the heavenly places where God is, that's where I am. It's where I live. It's where I breathe. It's where I find all my strength. It's where I find all the blessings and promises of God. And it is where I take up my armor and fight for my king. I hope you find it this week. I hope you re-enter this week. I hope your eyes are just open to the realities that God has given this week. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to do so. If you are, make sure you're walking and living and dwelling where God is. If I asked for an opinion poll, I think I'd get 100% of where do you want to end up in the end? Because we'd all raise our hand and say heaven, right? God says, that's fantastic. The good news is I've already opened it for you. So quit sitting around waiting for it and start living in it. If you need to respond this morning, if you need the prayers of the church, if you need to be baptized in Jesus Christ, if you need to receive those blessings that God provides for us in the heavenly places, we invite you to come.